Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to part two of your Friday extravaganza. Hopefully you just listened to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion recap, and now I have a little dessert for you. This is just a mix of things that I wanted to talk about. Two I've been promising you all week, which is the mid-season trailer breakdown of Vanderpump Rules, which gives us a lot of context clues for the rest of the season. Have a lot of fun with that. And also a full breakdown of the second trailer for The Valley, which premieres this Tuesday, Jax and Brittany. But also, this could be helpful for you going into The Valley to see if you want to watch it or not. But I, you know, go through all of the characters and all of that stuff. So I'll put timestamps for each of those. But we open up with something amazing. Now, I don't know if you guys remember Kirby Johnson, who's been on this show a couple of times. She's just fantastic. Kirby Johnson, the host of the Los Angeles podcast, but also follow her on Instagram and TikTok because her content is just amazing. She interviews so many just fantastic people, does so many red carpet interviews. I really look up to her, but she is like the world's biggest NSYNC fan. And NSYNC reunited for the first time in forever on Wednesday night in Los Angeles at Justin Timberlake's kind of secret show he did at the Wiltern Theater. And she was boots on the ground. So I saw her videos and it just made me smile. It made me happy. And I love fandom. I love things that like kind of make you smile. And I love people that really geek out on things. And I just thought, I want to talk to her about her experience. And I know a lot of you guys are NSYNC fans out there, but this is a great conversation. And we even end it with some Vanderpump Rules thoughts. So that's going to be first. Then we'll go to the Vanderpump trailer and then the Valley trailer breakdown. Now, if you want to see the visuals on the mid-season trailer and the Valley trailer with all of the visuals from those actual trailers while I talk, those are over on our YouTube channel. So go subscribe over there as well. Meditza does a great job with the videos, does a lot of graphics and things of that nature. So go subscribe. Just search So Bad It's Good. It should pop right up for you. If not, you can just listen to the audio version of me explaining a trailer. Just close your eyes and you'll be able to visualize the entire trailer. But I hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. Tomorrow's Friday. I don't have to talk to anybody for the podcast, but I will be doing a couple of Patreon episodes, including tonight's episode of Summer House, which, oh man, painful stuff, rough stuff. So that'll be over on the Patreon tomorrow afternoon. Got to collect my thoughts and potentially watch it again. A lot of Lindsay Carl thoughts. Anyways, hope you have a great weekend, and I will talk to you on Monday, if not before. Here she is, the one, the only, Kirby Johnson. Folks, welcome back to So Bad It's Good, presented by Betches Media. Listen, last night I was in misery. It was midnight, and I'm trying to get through a Vanderpump Rules recap, and it just provides me the opposite of joy lately. And I scroll around on Twitter and things like that as I'm trying to catch my breath in between yelling about Tom Sandoval. And I happened upon a tweet from one of our good friends on the pod. And she said that she got to see NSYNC live at a Justin Timberlake show at the Wiltern that happened on Wednesday night. right? Yeah, Wednesday night. We're on Thursday right now. So Wednesday night. So I reached out to her today, and she is insanely busy all the time, but she said she would come on. And I thought this was such an important moment to actually talk about. And I love leaning into things that provide love, that provide like something that like really we can geek out on, like a pop culture moment, which I think this is one of. Now, you know her from her insanely successful podcast, The Los Angeles Pod, but she's a writer, producer, and host. She covers beauty and entertainment. The one, the only, Kirby Johnson. Kirby, are you on cloud nine right now after seeing NSYNC reunite and perform songs?
Ryan, I am so unwell. Cloud nine is a great way to describe it, but I truly am like, was that a figment of my imagination? I can't believe it actually happened. Wild.
I was so excited for you when I saw this, but also I was kind of just excited because I know it's I was an NSYNC. I am an NSYNC fan. I was one of the the No Strings Attached album. I remember getting it the first day. I remember their domination of like the MTV airwaves. And I think they're just a great pop band, a great boy band that, of course, we saw Justin Timberlake go on to do the things that he did. But it's so exciting to think of the prospect of them back together again. Why do you think it's so exciting for fans to have them together again?
You know, nostalgia speaks to people, but I think specifically with NSYNC, they don't do these reunion tours. They don't do what, you know, Backstreet Boys, to their credit, has been going strong for over 20, 30 years at this point. They continue to put out albums. They continue actually to make good music. If you haven't listened to their last album, you should. It's great. It's like they've evolved with the band and with their music. And I know like 98 Degrees tried something. New Kids on the Block is still going strong. And then here and there, you'll see like Lance, Joey, and Chris like do like a cruise or whatever. But it's never been the five of them. The last time we really saw them ever perform together, I believe, was when Justin won the Video Vanguard Award at the MTV Movie Awards, or pardon me, Video Awards in 2013. And they did maybe a 5-minute song and dance. And then when they got their Walk of Fame star, I believe they did not perform. I don't think they performed on the Ellen Show when they did that in conjunction with getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But that was like the first time in many, many years we had seen them reunite and even engage with each other and do something public facing that generated publicity. So I mean, the NSYNC fan, because by the way, last year when we thought we were getting like a proper reunion with the Trolls song.
Yeah, because also the MTV Music Awards, they came out and I believe they presented. Taylor Swift was freaking out. They had the Trolls soundtrack, but I think there was some like, you know, there was like the strikes going on at the time. You know, there was rumors of all of this stuff to be happening, and then it kind of died out all of a sudden.
Totally. And we were all thinking it was going to be maybe a new album or a tour or something. And because at that point, nobody really knew that Justin was having his own new music and his own tour coming out. And I was doing segments called NSYNC News Now. Like I was reporting from the front lines, going to Hollywood Boulevard to try to hear the new track and stuff. It was so dumb. But I mean, I've been a fan of them since I was 12, 11 years old. And so yesterday, Wednesday, we were all kind of sleuthing. Chris Kirkpatrick does not live in California. He lives in Nashville. Joey lives on the East Coast as well, but he happens to be in town because he's doing a tour with AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys this weekend. So, and Lynn Lance and JC live here. And so we were all kind of like, why would Chris be here the same day that Justin's doing this one night only thing? It just, everything started to align. And then you couldn't get tickets to this show.
Yeah, so like when did this concert get announced for Justin Timberlake at the Wiltern?
Right. It got announced last week. So he put a link in his profile, and I think he posted it on his Instagram just saying one night only in Los Angeles. He had done this previously, I believe, for Memphis and New York City. So this was like part of his promo tour for his upcoming album, which comes out Friday the 15th. Wait, when does this go live?
This goes tomorrow. So okay, wait, it's out tomorrow.
It's out tomorrow.
Okay.
So it goes live the 15th. And you know, he's been doing it. But the whole thing is that you can't just buy the tickets. You have to enter a ticket lottery, and then you find out the day before if you have been bestowed these tickets. I just happened to have a fairy godmother in the ticket department that said, hey, we know you entered the lottery, but we have a ticket waiting for you. Like, you will be there.
Wow.
And so I got really lucky, but I believe in manifestation, manifest your dreams. I'm like, I'm going to be there and NSYNC is going to come out. They're going to reunite because.
Wait, so yeah, was there a rumor though? So, I mean, obviously why are they all in town? But when he put out this one night only, there wasn't like a wink. You're going to want to be there.
Right. But it was because that same week that Justin had announced this one night only, Spotify released the entire track listing for this new album. And there is a song on there with NSYNC. So it's an NSYNC song on a Justin Timberlake album. So people were like, oh my God, we're getting a new song. And then he announces One Night Only. And we all start thinking, this is a little too convenient that Chris is at Universal Studios right now. Joey's performing in Palm Desert this weekend. Yeah. Is everything coming together? So we had an inkling, but we didn't actually know.
So you show up, it's looking likely. It is like, you know, things are in motion. You get there, and I'm not even joking, is the excitement palpable? Like, you can feel the energy at concerts. Sometimes it's like, sometimes it's like everybody's just like, what was the feeling like from everybody, not just you, but from everybody around you headed into the concert?
I mean, it was electric. You could tell there were, you know, Justin fans there. And Justin is an amazing performer. If you haven't ever seen him in concert, you should, because he's a great entertainer. But there were people, I was wearing an NSYNC vintage t-shirt from 2001. Other people were wearing their NSYNC t-shirts. So you could kind of tell that the hope was, okay, we're coming here and we're supporting Justin, but we're really hoping that this NSYNC reunion that we're sniffing out actually happens.
Well, listen, you're wearing the NSYNC shirt you got last night, but when you came in those doors, were they selling the NSYNC shirt already, or did they wait until after they came out to sell the shirt?
That's actually a good question. I do not know, but I do know that at the end of the night, I was at the end of the merch line and I was the last person to get this in the flesh. They said they would be online and they have a limited run available online, but everything like those shirts were sold out and he still had plenty of other merch available for people. So it was clear everyone wanted this commemorative NSYNC moment.
So the show starts, obviously he's going to start solo. How many songs into his concert did they come out?
It was about the end, essentially. So he went through, he played three of his new songs off of the new album that he had teased and people had gotten familiar with. He played all of his hits. So he was giving the people what they wanted. I thought I was going in to see most of the album kind of be debuted. And I'm glad it wasn't that, because it would have kind of been like we don't know these lyrics, we don't know the beat song type of thing. And then he had a DJ that had opened up for him and he came back out and they kind of they started mixing different tracks of his, like songs that he's featured on, deep cuts, stuff like that, to kind of get people hype. And then the DJ was like, should we go further in your catalog? And everyone was like, okay, this is the moment. And so he started playing Gone, and he had remixed it with this song called Water that's really popular on TikTok and people love. And he just walked to the middle of the stage. And then all of a sudden during the chorus, the curtains opened, the men were there, they were lit up, and they walked out and started performing. And so they sang Gone, Girlfriend, Bye, 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 and It's Gonna Be Me. And they had a track for that. So it wasn't like a live band performing with them. And a lot of people, because I posted all of the videos of this, somehow I kept enough composure to film this while I was literally sobbing.
I was wondering that. I was just watching your Instagram stories, and you can follow her on Instagram. Also her TikTok, Jessica Biel reposted one of her TikToks. Very exciting. But I was wondering how the heck you were able to remain still. I have shaky hands already. I would have been a mess.
Oh, I was trying so hard because I knew I would want to A, be able to watch this back, and B, since I know a lot of people wanted to go and couldn't get in, I wanted to be able to post it. But a lot of people commenting were saying, you know, oh, they're using a track. How like weird. And like, this isn't like the most polished performance. And I was trying to explain, okay, first of all, if this was a thing where they were going on tour, they would have been practicing with a band and would have been prepared for this. But they got like one rehearsal today before the day before the actual performance. And that was for I guess, like maybe walking through those four songs. And then his band came back out and they performed the new song, which is called Paradise. And so
slower number, correct?
Yes. Like it's called Paradise. It kind of feels like it's a little nostalgic for This I Promise You. It feels very much like a modern version of NSYNC. And it also kind of feels like it's calling back to like bringing the guys back together in a way. So a lot of us have hope out there. We're hoping that after Justin tours that NSYNC will be back in the studio recording and then going on tour. I have heard from more than three sources that is pretty much happening once Justin's done touring, but
well, see, that was my question to you, Kirby, was that I was wondering if this was a soft launch, that they will have a section of NSYNC at Justin Timberlake's upcoming tour. I was like, no. If this is going so well and such excitement around it, you're saying no, this will be a straight Justin Timberlake tour, but hopefully we're hearing buzz that there will be that in the future.
Listen, I don't know for sure regarding them being on Justin's tour, but I just can't see a world where A, they're paying for NSYNC to be a part of all of these stops on this world tour.
Yeah.
A. B, a lot of them, four out of five of them have children, small children. And I don't think that is going to work either. Also, Justin is, his new album's coming out and this is a new tour. He doesn't want to probably take away from those things because NSYNC would usurp anything that he was doing. So a lot of people are like, oh my God, I hope he comes to Austin. I hope he comes to here. You know, I hope they bring NSYNC, you know, to these stops that I bought tickets for. And I was just like, it's called One Night Only for a reason. Like, I don't foresee that happening.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You make a good point. I mean, I think the musical landscape has changed so much. So especially watching Justin Timberlake try to launch this album and this tour, it's been kind of a bumpy road. I've done many segments in the last couple of months about this because you had the SNL performance, but unfortunately you're still mired in a lot of the Britney Spears stuff, which, by the way, I've read some of your things and you've been kind of more of a clear-headed voice in this and also reminding people of certain things that they may have forgotten. But I thought in this landscape, you know, Justin, I don't know how old he is, but he's got to be nearing 40 at this point.
He's 40s.
But like a male pop star, you know, we always talk about females, but what is the shelf life of a male pop star, even if they've been huge in the past? And also, if you're trying to launch this whole new thing and seeing the bumps in the road, that's the one thing I was like, would he potentially lean on NSYNC to really like get to bring that love again and to remind people of the power of that music? So I was just really curious about this. From even a launching standpoint, what was his behavior on stage? I saw some of the videos, but did he seem excited about the moment as well? Did he feel like it was a natural thing that he was respecting?
Oh, 100%. I think that, and you guys should go and watch the videos, not to self-promote, but
no, please.
They all look so happy. Every single one of them, Justin, JC, the way that JC and Justin were interacting at the end when they all walked off stage and were saying goodbye, he was like, I love you guys. And they're all like, I love you. I love you. Like it felt so special. It felt like old times. And I think that what the hope is that that feeling that they all have, all five of them together, will remind them, okay, we need to get the show back on the road. And, you know, Justin, you know, he made that comment at his birthday show in New York City about right before Cry Me a River. He was like, I apologize for absolutely fucking nothing. And I'm like, you really didn't have to say that. It's that's so dumb for you to say that. And I think that's kind of why he went dark for a few weeks afterwards, because his publicist was probably like, be for real. I think that Justin, to maybe Justin's defense in a way, all of that stuff that was brought up in Britney's book, and by the way, diehard Britney fan, love her to death, but that was 20 years ago. And if Britney Spears was able to forgive him and move on, then like the general public kind of needs to let go, in my opinion. People were commenting on my TikTok saying things like, we still haven't forgiven Justin. And I kind of was just like, okay, good for you. You hold grudges. Like, you don't even know this person.
But that's the society we seem to live in. It bums me out to no degree. Like, you see it with so many examples nowadays, but it's like, we've all had our past. We also all were young people at a certain point. I can't even imagine what that was like for them, both being the stars that they were, having to go through something that traumatic and not having a language of what was happening to them in the world, but, you know, even to each other. And, you know, it's so scary. But more to NSYNC, though, was there anyone, because I was thinking, like, how nervous I would be. Did you sense any nerves from anybody? Justin always seems like way too confident and cocky. He's always just like flipping his mic. Did any of the other guys seem like, oh my God, they perform for stadiums?
No, you know, okay. So I love this question because, by the way, it was Justin's concert. So like, he was dressed differently from everybody else. Yeah. He was flipping the mic. He was doing the little dances. He was very visually, like, you could see how excited he was to like bring everybody back together at this moment. I think JC seems a little nervous. And I'm a JC girl and I love him. I think that kind of adds to his charm, him being like the humble king. The other guys look like Lance looked incredible. A, B was just, he wanted to go into choreo. Like, they didn't do any, like they didn't do any choreography, and you could tell Lance was like ready and rearing to go into choreo. Joey seemed to be having fun. He was cracking jokes. Chris looked like he was having the time of his effing life. And I felt like JC was having fun, but he also seemed a little bit more reserved than, you know, not necessarily like different than how he would normally act when I remember him being on tour, but he did seem just like a little like, oh wow, like dusting off these little, you know, pipes to get back out there.
I want somebody to hold JC down and cut the back of his hair. I just want the hair, because by the way, like, I'm unfortunately a straight dude, but I even was a JC guy. I was like, I thought JC, and I like, I just thought he looked so sharp. I always thought like, and Justin was cool, but I thought JC was the shit. And I hate to be, you know, a look space, but I just hate the long hair. I hate that look. That's just not my JC.
He looks so handsome, and his hair reminds me of a specific era of his. And I did love his little curly hair. I think he would benefit from a little bit of a trim / style with his hair. But I thought they all look really good, and they all seemed so happy. And I think too, you were mentioning Justin, and you know, Justin being the star of the show, and yeah, it was his concert. But one thing I think people are still really kind of harping on is that he did this as a publicity stunt in order to get goodwill from the fans and the community and like the general public. And this is what I think about that. I think that you can't sell out a place like that and have that much hype around you just because you were in a band 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, like, you just can't do it. So people, like, everyone's like, oh, his failing career, he had to do something. And I'm like, this man is going on a world tour. Like, you're not, like, there are so many things that go into planning a world tour. You are not planning anything without knowing, okay, we're going to be able to sell this many seats. We're going to add an extra night. We're going to do all of these things. Even from where you go on your tour, you know whether people are going to buy tickets or not. People aren't buying tickets just hoping NSYNC's going to reunite. They're buying them because they're Justin Timberlake fans. Well,
yes. I mean, this guy is a worldwide superstar. Without NSYNC, the other thing was that we had gotten a lot of news this week in regards to Jennifer Lopez's upcoming tour.
And they had to
cancel the last week of the tours. You know, there's been some slow ticket sales, they've said. And I was wondering, do you know if his ticket sales have been strong thus far?
Yeah. And he keeps adding shows because of it.
Okay. That's what I was
And so I think that, you know, I think J-Lo is in a really interesting position. I wonder if these sales would be low if she hasn't just been so in our face the past several months with her documentary and her movie and like all of these other things. I think that if maybe this was after the Super Bowl, perhaps that performance, it would be a lot different because it would remind people, oh yeah, she is a badass performer and she kills it. But she kind of had this string of negative press with the Iowa Debris saying that stuff about her not actually singing, coming back to resurface. I mean, you know, you would think that going on SNL might remind people like, oh, this is Jenny from the Block. I want to go see her perform. But I think it's almost been just like too much J-Lo and people are kind of fatigued by it. Like we see her all the time. Why would we pay tickets to go see her? I don't know. I have a lot of respect for Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, I do too. I just think it's so interesting in today's day and age that nothing is promised. You have to go out there and prove yourself every time. And, you know, the PR campaigns behind these things, the further I get into doing things like this, the more fascinating it becomes. And you kind of ride this wave of public perception and fighting against your past. And like every day you have to show up to that mat again. And that's what's really interesting. So a couple last things. Yes. Travis Kelce was there last night.
Yeah.
Took a break from Taylor for the night and went to this concert.
I didn't see him, and I'm guessing that's because he was probably backstage the whole time or like on a side something or another. Like I didn't even hear a murmur that he was there. There was no like screaming. There was no pandemonium. The only people that I saw were John Legend and Chrissy Teigen. And they started off in the same section that I was in. And then they ended up moving down to do side stage for the NSYNC performance. Uh-huh. But Justin was posting about a lot of, AJ McLean was there. Like there were a lot of people in the audience that were excited to see him.
I was wondering if Travis Kelce was FaceTiming Taylor so Taylor could get a look at the performance at some point. You have to imagine that would actually happen.
It's so wild, Taylor's influence. I mean, posting these NSYNC videos, people have figured out a way to bring it back to Taylor Swift. Like, oh my God, do you think Taylor's freaking out? I'm like, oh my God. I love Taylor sincerely, but this is insane. This is crazy.
I mean, no, it's a vortex of Taylor. Right. And then finally, the saddest thing about your videos though, was I didn't get my favorite song. I was hoping that they would do Digital Get Down.
Oh my God. I would have
lost
it.
They did not do Digital Get Down, which really prognosticated the whole internet movement in terms of sexy time. Oh, that was always, and by the way, that's a great bop, but it's hysterical, the lyrics of it in retrospect.
Can you imagine if they perform that anytime in the future? I mean, I would die. There was an HBO special for NSYNC and they performed that song and JC licks the floor. Like there's like a move where he's like getting down on the floor and they're all thrusting in this clear stage and he licks the floor and there's a camera underneath. And I mean, that was a sexual awakening for a lot of us. So
I can imagine. I think that's what they did to these poor boys and girls of like coming of age is just wild. But no, that always makes me laugh. And so that was just an amazing experience. I'm so happy you got to experience that. And it was great that we got to follow along. You guys go follow her regardless of this, but I'm sure she'll have this in her highlight reel should be already in her highlight reel. And then just while I have you, any quick thoughts on Vanderpump Rules this season? Are you as angry as I am?
It's so hard. It is a really hard watch. It's a hard watch for me. I also, you listen to Rachel's podcast. Yeah.
Rachel. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Still going by the Raquel name. Yeah.
Oh, Raquel.
You know, I've dipped in and out of her podcast, but I've read recaps of all of them. I listened to the first two and another one since then, but I know what she's talking about in every one. What's your take on that?
I like listening to it because I think that, I mean, she had everything to lose and she did. And so now she's just kind of like, I can speak on what these people are talking about right now and like why I did the things that I did or how I felt. And I'm really truly perplexed by Lisa Vanderpump. I think she's a really interesting woman. I really don't understand a lot of why she says the things she says, other than that the motive is she wants to keep her show on the air and make money. But
the whispering in the ears of like Sheena and Lala and making them think it's their idea to like welcome this man back into the fold is so weird to watch. It's unsettling.
Yeah. I also think that Lala gets a lot of heat because she's Lala and she's been wrong a lot in the past and she's loud and very vocal about things. But I do think when you have a child involved and you are dealing with the level of narcissism that she was dealing with, that like made LA Times headlines. I mean, like, he was like pulling fast ones on Bruce Willis. Okay. So,
oh, yeah.
I think that he's like very nefarious, you know, and I empathize actually with Lala because I think she's traumatized by that relationship. And what she's really looking for is for this cast to be like, we get it. And we're so sorry. Kind of like what Erica Jane and I think Lala had parallel lives in a way these past two seasons. And I think that they're both just looking for their friends to be like, you know what? You got the short end of the stick and we're really sorry. Yes, you're not perfect, but we love you and support you. And we know you were mistreated.
But I think we can see this is not the cast for that. They don't usually, don't seem to be a lot of deep thinkers that are like really going back into the past. But even Lala has those slip ups where I'm like, you can't see what Ariana's talking about. You can't see. And the Katie of it all, Katie, she's not some Ariana sycophant. She has an axe to grind as well with Sandoval, a very accurate axe to grind. And I guess that's making it a fascinating watch, but you're right. The Rachel podcast does give it this 360 viewing experience that is like,
which I think is
reality.
Better for the show. I wish that they like Bravo in some aspect would promote her podcast. Cause I think that it actually makes the show more interesting to hear her side of things versus just like, it was really interesting when I went to the premiere, Ryan, like they didn't want me to post stuff immediately. I had to get like a lot of approvals from Bravo before I could post anything. I still haven't even posted a majority of the interviews I have because I haven't been allowed to. And one of the videos that I did, they made me take Tom Sandoval out. And so I'm wondering if it's because they either know his mental health is like not good, or they just know that people are going to have a negative reaction to seeing any of Tom in content. So
It's funny when Bravo has something to do with it, they're very tight lid. But when you go rogue, like Tom did, we see how that works out. Like, right. I think they know what they're dealing with. But then when Tom goes rogue, you see that it's like this. I mean, talk about PR things. What a negative perception that this guy has to dig himself out of. And I don't think he clearly understands what he's done still. And that makes it an interesting viewing experience. But to your point, I wish they would actually make like the audience sometimes and the fans don't really, there's so much information coming at them that there's not one place that they're like, can get the full story. And I wish the show would bring everybody in and try to tell the clear story.
Okay. So can I ask you one quick question before we end? How do you feel knowing that Allie wanted to be Taylor Swift? Yeah.
Well, listen, I think a lot of people wanted to be Taylor Swift, but I do like, I mean, she took it a step further. She was out there performing. And what a pipeline, the Taylor Swift to astrology pipeline that I decided to be an astrologer and said, listen, if you, Allie has turned into the voice of reason. Like, this is why I'm so curious, because she seems to nail everything. She seems to nail like all of these like reactions to people, but then she's with DJ James Kennedy. So it's very interesting. Like, that's the part that I'm so confused. And I don't know if we've really seen their real relationship, because she seems so laser-like in her precision of being able to like nail down everybody's psychoses in a way, and even understanding James. But she's a big question mark, but I say that like, I really like her. But even like the thing that I think you're getting at is, could she have done this wanting to get on reality television? Maybe. I think we live in a society now that seems to be a goal for a lot of people. But even if she would, like, good. She's good on reality TV. She's a voice of reason. She's a good communicator.
I agree. We needed her on the show because sometimes I felt like I was going crazy. And I think that I think she says a lot of things that Katie says, but she knows how to say it. Katie, like she said, Katie's toxic trait is how she says things. And I love Katie. But I think Allie's able, because she's a little bit more even keeled, is able to deliver it in a way that people accept it.
And she's new. Like, Katie's been there. Like, Katie is so over it. Like, like any of us would be having your actual life, but Allie's new. So Allie has a clear head. I could talk to you about this forever. I know this. Same. I just asked her quick. So thank you, Kirby. One of my favorite follows, one of my favorite people, you guys. I know you already know her, but if you don't, go follow her on all platforms. Los Angeles Pod is out there. Go subscribe, rate it 5 stars. I'm so excited for you. Thank you for giving us an insider's look, because this is what pop culture is all about. This is like something to be celebrated. So congratulations. And I hope I talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Boo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, folks, I've been wanting to talk about these all week. If you're watching on YouTube, these will be two separate videos. If you're listening to this, I will try to walk you through the Vanderpump Rules mid-season trailer and also the Valley trailer, the Jax Taylor spinoff that we were all asking for. But I think there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about in terms of these two trailers about where we're headed in Vanderpump Rules and where the F we're going to go with The Valley, which is premiering next week directly after Vanderpump Rules. Jax is back. Oh, is he back, you guys? So the Vanderpump Rules mid-season trailer, I was very excited to see a mid-season trailer, which means we potentially are going to get a 14-episode season. They are filming the reunion this weekend. Also, if you listen to the podcast and the Vanderpump Rules recap, I was very curious if Ariana would be there since she was doing shows on Broadway with Chicago. They are dark on Friday and Saturday, so Ariana will be there filming for the reunion, which is great because I was going to be so bummed if she was Zooming in. I just hate Zoomed in reunions, and I thought that it would just even give more flack for people to like bash Ariana with. So by the way, first, I wish the mid-season trailer was literally just Billy Lee and Joe. I just want Bill. I want more Billy Lee and Joe now. Like those, everything else is so dark, but they add a certain levity for me, the viewer, that I'm like, hell yeah, let's throw Billy Lee and Joe in every possible scene that we can, because it's like waving something bright and shiny in my face. Okay, so we start off
still
the mid-season trailer.
Vanderpump Rules.
Lisa, of course, you know, the narrator, still come on Vanderpump Rules. And we open up and we see a Tom Schwartz shot in a restaurant. Lala's next to him. And the thing that we notice about Tom Schwartz is that he went full Kate Gosselin. He has now had a bleach blonde effect to his hair. I think he looks like a really beautiful soccer mom with this hair. And you know, Joe did this to him. Joe, the hairstylist, which, by the way, has anybody noticed Joe's hair herself? Like, it's interesting, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe she just likes to give people hairdos. But yeah, here we go.
A trash person. He's a good person who did a trash thing.
A trash thing?
A lot of things.
Okay, so immediately we see that Schwartz is directly across from Ariana. Not only that, her new boyfriend, Dan. And once again, Schwartz being the spokesman for Tom Sandoval, he's like, oh, he's, you know, not a trash person. He just did a trash thing, you know, like, oh, I love that guy. And Ariana's like, a trash thing? Like, literally, oh, you know, like, already off the bat. But that got me excited to see Ariana in a conversation with Schwartz. And I just find it funny that Schwartz would staunchly defend Sandoval in front of Ariana, which is great.
I hear footsteps.
Then we cut to a scene in the Tom and Ariana house, aka the dungeon. And we see Ariana on FaceTime, probably with her boyfriend, Dan, and going, I hear Tom Sandoval. Oh, and we see Tom Sandoval dipping out quietly, you know, with his like diet slice in his hand. That's how awkward this living scenario really truly must be. I wish we saw more producer Ann in this, or not producer, assistant Ann of like, Tom, you can come down the steps now. So we see him go out the door. And then all of a sudden, DJ James Kennedy pops up out of a bathtub with bubbles. He's like, Bubble, it's Bubble Night. DJ James Kennedy doesn't really have much of a storyline, like a solo storyline. His storyline is just being hurt by his big brother, Tom Sandoval. So he pops out of the bathtub. Then we see a scene reminiscent of Reservoir Dogs with four of the women, Lala, Katie, Ariana, and Sheena, walking down a street, all in different looks. I mean, they truly look like the Avengers of West Hollywood here. So then we see a bunch of clips. One is Sheena filming a music video with her band. I think they're called the 27s. So we see that. We see Tom with these horrible glasses. What are these, Oakleys? It's like, it reminds me of the glasses the baseball players at my high school used to wear that picked on me. And it looks like he's driving a sports car with his like wife beater on. And he's got this Marky Mark face on, like, let's go, brother. Yeah. Then we see they're at some kind of, I don't know, some kind of club. Lala has like this shimmery, silver bra on, and what's the fucking name? The thing, the burlesque. It's like a burlesque show. And the girls are at this burlesque show. We see Ali Dali in the background. And, you know, we also see a murder mystery party in the mid-season trailer. And sometimes I just don't know if I need the pomp and circumstance. Like, I don't need him to go out to some burlesque show. Just talk. Just talk at Ali Dali's living room. That's all I want.
So are you gonna ask me on a date?
Okay. So we see Schwartz kiss somebody. And then in the next scene, it is, it's Sheena and Brock's nanny that didn't really work out for them. And she's like, are you going to ask me out on a date? And then we see Schwartz in another scene, kissing her. This looks like on Melrose right by Pump, and they're kissing. And she just looks so young though.
I think you're closer than ever right now. I mean, we're dating the same girls.
And then, you guys, we finally get the storyline. Schwartz telling Joe of like, you know, I think me and Katie are like dating the same girl. And we see Katie Maloney with that big dick energy kissing the same girl, kissing Sheena's ex-nanny. And then Joe, we see he's saying this to Joe at the hair salon. And Schwartz has like the little saran wrap on his head or whatever it is to hold in those gorgeous blonde locks. And Joe is like, oh, that's fucking weird. Ooh. And when Joe says something like it's fucking weird, that's really got to be fucking weird, you know?
Weird.
Tom's going to wake up and realize that I was the one that got away.
I know we're divorced, but like I was thinking just like maybe one night stand.
I would consider keeping the house.
Oh, my God. And then the most uncomfortable scene. Katie says, I think Tom is going to realize that I'm the one that got away. What do you guys think about that? I think in certain ways he will always kind of hold that flame, obviously. And when he's at his darkest moments, he will have thoughts like that. But at the same time, I think Schwartz, who will never potentially admit this on camera, is kind of enjoying certain aspects of his life. But then we see the scene where he was like, I was thinking, Katie, just like one night, just like no strings attached, like doing the hippity dippity, like really bumping uglies together one last time. And you can see Katie's face of like, ah, I mean, that's the weird thing, right? When you're in this long-term relationship and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. But then Schwartz, all of a sudden, he needs some sexual healing from Miss Katie Maloney. And let's take bets on this. Do we think Katie will... And also, do you think Schwartz is a generous lover? Do you think Schwartz is like laying it down the bed? Like, what if he's kind of like lazy and like, shucks in his real life? But when he hits the bedroom, he's like, flip over here. Yeah, we're going to do it in this position now. Like, what if he's like just a stallion in the bedroom? I don't think he is, but like potentially wouldn't that kind of be amazing? I think there's no way in hell that Katie takes that opportunity. But you never know, right? And then we go to another scene back in Tom and Ariana's house. And Sandoval, he has his fixed penis flute that he loves dearly. He loves this penis flute more than Ariana. And he's holding it in his hands, you know, how you would, fiddling with a penis flute. And he was like, I would consider keeping the house if I had a roommate. And we see that he's talking to Tom Schwartz. This is what I was wanting all along, is that get Schwartz to move into this dungeon with you. But I just like Sandoval kicking back, looking at this penis flute, like, I was contemplating in my journal if I would like to live with anybody else. And there's only one person that supposedly would fit that bill. You, Tom Schwartz. And
if I had a roommate,
do you want to play a little?
We see Tom Schwartz eating fruit next to Maya the dog. And Maya the dog, you can tell, is like, oh, dude, it's already fucking crowded here. I can't, like, I mean, I can't. We can I make sure I'm not here if Schwartz moves in? And Schwartz is kind of just shaking his head, which I think we're all shaking our heads. But we said, like, the biggest mess usually wins on reality television. Like, there is something intriguing about watching these two goofballs live together. Like, I know Tom has two assistants, but potentially, like, the electricity bill would still not be paid. And Schwartz, oh, that was me. I'm sorry. My bad. Then we go to a scene with the girls.
I have sperm up here.
Say she has sperm.
I don't know. It looked like Lala potentially was throwing some sort of, donor party or something. And Lala's like, so I've got sperm up here. And Lisa, leaning into Ariana, did she say she had sperm up there? Very interesting to see Lisa in a scene with Ariana after Lisa has been the Iago to, like, Othello in so many of these episodes, trying to subtly put feelers out that Ariana is a horrible person. She sucks. Ah.
Have you ever had a threesome?
Daniel.
Okay. And then we get back to that first scene where Schwartz is across from Dan, Ariana's boyfriend, and Ariana. And Schwartz is like, have you ever had a threesome? Which I could you. Tom Schwartz, man, clocking in this season, asking the tough questions. And then we see a cut to a scene where Daniel's coming out of the shower. And it turns out this guy has long, luscious locks. This guy, it's like that old band. Nobody's going to even get this reference. It's like that old band Nelson, you know, the two brothers in the late 80s that had, like, a rock band, and they had this long flowing locks. But, like, Daniel comes out of the shower and he whips his hair back, and Lala's in a bathrobe going, like, Daniel is hot, because this guy's ripped. He's a personal trainer. Totally. I guess ladies, do you think he's like the cat's meow? Would you do the hippity dippity with Daniel?
That's why I'm going to ask.
Ariana's got good taste in men.
Okay. And then we cut to Sandoval going, yeah, dude, Ariana has good taste in men. I love Tom Sandoval appreciating the beauty of someone's choices in terms of sexual preference, what turns them. Yeah, dude, have you seen the guys that Ariana's been with? Daniel, amazing. Me, also amazing. We're cut from the same cloth, dude. And then we see Ariana kiss Daniel in another scene. Like, so Daniel, the back half of the season, seems like there's a lot of Daniel. Potentially all of these scenes got filmed in, like, one fail swoop, so who knows? But I'm here to see their relationship on camera. I want to see, you know, that's the other thing too, is that usually the audience can sniff something out before the characters in the scenes themselves, so we'll be able to tell really quickly how we feel about this man. And I feel bad for this dude potentially not wanting to be on TV, then winding up on TV. And that can be a really tough road. We see Joe, we see Billy Lee going through similar things. I mean, the spotlight will be on him. It's just sometimes that spotlight can be really bad.
If Ariana's ex were to come up and be like, hey dude, I'm Sandoval, what would you do?
So then, you guys, Lala is talking to Daniel and said, if Ariana's ex would come up to you and, like, introduce yourself, what would you do? And then we literally cut to a scene of Tom Sandoval, like, kneeling over, coming in to shake Daniel's hand. And it looks like Ariana is right next to him when he does that. And by the way, that's, like, patented Sandoval playbook, right? Like, what's up, dude? Hey, dude. Hey, really? Yeah, really hot stuff, dude. You're really very, very good looking, dude. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Sandoval. I don't know if you've heard of me. I've been on a couple seasons of this show. Some people will say I've started this show. I don't know. Anyways, really great to meet you, dude. But anyways, Daniel then says, listen, I know what's gone on before. I know who he is.
I know what he's done.
We're all friends again.
Oh, are we?
I definitely.
And then we see a quick scene of Schwartz around Ariana and Schwartz going, "We're all friends again." And Ariana's like, "Are we?" Listen, I'm all for the ice thawing in terms of Schwartz and Ariana. If Schwartz can actually start to realize what he participated in along with Sandoval, I'm down for that.
Really, like, babies in our future.
I've never felt that.
How is
okay, so maybe this is a storyline for DJ James Kennedy, obviously based off of the La La storyline, but DJ James Kennedy's like, I've always seen babies in our future, baby night. And Allie's like, I've never actually seen that. And you could tell, like, we're potentially going to get a crying scene from DJ James Kennedy. Like, oh, babies, please, Lisa, please don't, Lisa, Allie, please. But Allie, man, the voice of reason on this show. That's why I keep saying, like, I want to know, cameras down, how that relationship works, because she seems like she's got her head on her shoulders and she can predict the future because of those birth charts. Like, she's got all the answers already. All of the answers Allie Dally has.
How are we going to keep believing this man's genuine tears?
You've been relentlessly talking about me.
The whole world is talking about you.
Okay, okay. So we see this montage of Sandoval crying, and that looks like just this season. If we actually were to pull back out and see like 11 seasons of Sandoval crying, that would take the entire hour. But we see this, and Katie's like, how many times are we going to believe this man's tears? And then we see, we cut to Sandoval talking to somebody, and he's saying like, you know, you have been relentlessly talking about me, dude. And we see that he's talking to dun, 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 Jax Taylor. Jax Taylor with his new, like, he's had this like beard goatee or like mustache goatee look for a bit. He looks like when in old 80s, like I'm thinking about Knight Rider, they would do like the evil twin, and the evil twin, the only difference would be they had like a mustache and a little tiny chin pube beard. Like that's how you would determine that somebody was an evil twin. Jax looks like he's the evil twin of Jax, if that makes sense. But anyways, Jax fires back at Sandoval. The whole world's been talking shit about you, dude. Like he's like, I gotta sell a show, man.
The whole entire world.
The whole entire world. We cut over to Sheena.
Don't think you and I are going to be together forever.
Okay, I don't know what that is. Sheena talking to Brock, and Sheena's like, I don't see us together for the rest of our lives. And we see Brock, which looks like he's wiping away it, like, tell me that. Are you kidding me? Oh, we got summer. Come on. What the hell? I don't know if this is Frankenstein editing where they're putting a tear in after they've made up or something. But for Sheena to declare that, it is one of those things. Even if I've talked to Sheena off, you know, like in person and all this stuff. And like, you don't know sometimes, I think this is the paranoia that creeps in even with me, is that some of these people, even though they're loudmouths, they keep stuff close to the vest. Like there's a part of me that's like, shit, maybe they did split up and they're just like playing nice. I do not know what to believe anywhere with anyone, especially on this cast anymore. We cut to a scene where they look like they're all dressed as gangsters. I don't know if this is Brock or not. It just looks like a big beefy guy in a bowler hat, but he's choking, you know, like Kathy Hilton came in and gave him a curse or something. He's like, So I don't know if that's Brock or not. Oh no, you guys, it's the murder mystery party. So usually at these dumb murder mystery parties that we've seen way too much of on Bravo, somebody dies and then you have to put the mystery together. So that's that. And then we cut to Tom Sandoval playing with some kind of sparklers. Oh, dude, fireworks, dude. I picked these up in Bakersfield, dude. Let's light them up, dude. Sheena crying. And then we see them in the water in San Francisco, because by the way, the finale takes place in San Francisco at a launch of something Kyle Chan is doing. That's where I think the season finale initially was supposed to be the opening of something about her. That doesn't look like it's happening. So they're in San Francisco and it looks like they take a boat ride from hell. Then we cut to a beach where Ariana's there. But Sandoval's there as well. And DJ James Kennedy is drawing that line in the sand like, this is Sandoval's side and this is Ariana's side.
According to your rules, Ariana,
don't speak to me. Don't speak to me.
So Sandoval's trying to initiate a conversation with Ariana. And he's like, oh, dude, by your rules, my friend found the house. And Ariana's like literally on the other side going, don't speak to me. Don't speak to me. I can't hear you. Da 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 da. Is that the wind? I can't hear you.
You're speaking to me.
Joe, you're liar. Let him go.
She just came over to.
Okay, so this looks like it's at the final scene or the final episode in San Francisco because they're all dressed up and Schwartz has those luscious blonde locks. And, you know, Katie once again is like, Joe, you're a fucking creep. And Joe's like, let him go already. Let him go. And Schwartz obviously trying to defend anybody that's not Katie.
Make peace.
I don't want peace.
I feel like I just got extracted into like a parallel universe.
Ariana, wait 1 second.
Okay, so we hear Schwartz saying, I feel like I got extracted into a parallel universe. And the camera does some kind of weird swirly thing. We cut to that last episode in San Francisco where Tom is dressed in a black tux. Everybody's black tie. And he's like, Ariana, dude, Ariana, talk to me. And Ariana turns and walks away rapidly. So obviously this is what I had predicted. Like, you know, they were going to try to put her in scenes where they would, I don't know if force is the right word, but try to make something happen between these two. Some kind of conversation we have on camera. Sheena's on the other side of Sandoval. Ariana, though, immediately walks away.
Well, 30 seconds with the audience. You don't think that I'll if I died in a ditch?
Ariana, she talks about all you.
Okay, so then we see the aftermath of that. Ariana talking to producer Jeremiah, who's been there for a long time on Vanderpump Rules. And like, you know, he doesn't care if I die in a ditch. And then we see Tom Sandoval talking to the gang, including producer Jeremiah, going, she's talked shit about all you guys, dude. That is such a desperate pussy move when like, and by the way, Sandoval, if you really want to get into that game about you talking shit about your gang of friends, there's plenty of things that I think a lot of people could say about the things that you've said off camera, off mic about these people. But that's like just a desperate man's like desperate final attempt. Just watching this trailer of like, what a stupid thing to throw out there. But also it's the right cast in which to do it because then Sheena takes everything literally and is like, oh my God, she has like Sheena's paranoid about everything this season.
I now have f***ed up thoughts about Brock and Lala, one of my best friends, because I'm like, oh my God, can someone do that to me? You did that.
Okay, so maybe this is where some of the Brock issue potentially lies, because this next scene at a different location, Sheena's like, I have paranoid thoughts now about Brock with Lala, and you're the reason I have those. And Sandoval actually is like, oh shit, dude. I've done that. I've created this. Oh man.
So what do I mean to you?
You mean a lot.
Because we're filming her because of life.
Okay, so this final thing, what I had heard was that Ariana does leave that night at that final episode, and Sheena's the one that does the final scene with Tom. And in a sense, from a producer angle, you think that actually is, it kind of works, because the last episode of last season, the Scandoball episode, we had that final scene with Sheena and Tom was, you know, I don't think I can be your friend anymore scene. So that nicely sandwiches in a way. But Sheena's like, you know, what do I mean to you? And he's like, you mean a lot, dude. You like, Sheena, you mean a lot. And Sheena's like, as like, you know, kind of in real life or as just because we're filming. And Tom looks befuddled, because I think everything is one and the same for Tom. He's like, what are you talking about, dude? And then it's just Vanderpump Rules, the glass crashes, all of that. So that is what is yet to come. I mean, it had a lot. You got a lot of things in that. And I think it's great because we do see Ariana interacting a little bit more. So I'm really curious. You got some Katie Maloney things in there as well. They've been kind of off to the sideline doing their own thing. I will say, not a mention of something about her at all. I'm curious when we get the update at the reunion this weekend, where they're at with that. There has been so much speculation about the store. They have taken down all the decorative things. You know, I do know for a fact the city of West Hollywood code compliance was off, but I do think if you wait enough time, you're pouring money into rent and stuff. I would be curious if at a certain point they don't cut ties with that because it's just a money suck at a certain point. But who knows? Who knows? That was the trailer. Let us know what you think. Drop it in the comments. And I hope you enjoy that. That kind of got me excited. I feel really dead inside watching Vanderpump Rules this season, but that did get me excited. We got 7 more weeks, and then we'll probably, we'll get like a 3-part reunion out of this. Even if it's only meant for 2, they'll probably find a way to make it 3. Okay, let's move on to The Valley. Okay, moving right along, we got our second full-size trailer of The Valley. Now, the first trailer for this did not get a lot of positive responses, a lot of comments like, oh, who asked for this? Oh, it's stupid. Oh, it sucks. Like, I get all of that, but I kind of was saying on the show, let's wait until we see it, until we completely hate it. Now, this second trailer completely spins that first one on its head, and we see the darker side of The Valley. We see these issues. We see the fighting between Jax and Brittany. We see all of these things happening, and it immediately got you titillated. It immediately got you in. Now, this is going to be on next week after Vanderpump Rules episode. We go right into The Valley. I'm really excited to see the connector scene where they did that with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills going into Vanderpump Rules. Remember, Sheena was the connector. So I think Sheena is going to be the connector on this one as well that takes us into The Valley. But I have seen the first episode now, and I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It doesn't reinvent anything, but it kept my interest. I think the new couples, which we'll talk about, you see the cracks in their relationships. You do see potentially, I don't know. I mean, this is probably a good advertisement for birth control, because I watched it and going like, oh man, thank God I don't have kids. I will say the frustrating part is the Jackson Brittany stuff that has kicked up of late, where Brittany has moved out of the marital home. And they did pick back up cameras to film that for a later episode of The Valley, even though they had finished principal photography. I was told that this is very real, but I'm sorry, with all of this stuff, I still just, there's part of me that just, it's hard to accept. And also Jax and Brittany were with Schwartz and Doty at some convention, some kind of celebrity convention this past weekend. And then Jax and Brittany are back together on their podcast this week with Doty as the guest. I was told from my source saying, this is very real, but it's not to do with cheating. And I did not push them for further information. That'll come, when it is. I mean, I've seen the cheating rumors like everybody else has, saying this is very real, but not to do with cheating. But I just think the timing of all of this, especially when you're trying to sell a show, and if you think about who we knew Jax Taylor to be as a character on this show, there is this kind of thinking that he's smarter than everybody else, but he always like sticks his foot in it somehow, and it never completely, like anything that he's trying to plan kind of crumbles. So to me, this also seems like a little bit of a structured plan in a sense, even though there are elements that seem very real. And even watching this trailer, the drama between Jax and Brittany seemed very real, because we've known this man or this character of Jax Taylor to do very hurtful things, to kind of dismiss women's feelings, especially his wife. So that seems very real to me. The other thing that it's like, whether it's real or not, it's kind of sad no matter how you cut it, because you're monetizing your family at this point. It's even beyond Vanderpump Rules, where these, most of the cast doesn't have kids, so they're just fucking their own self up. But now it's like you're bringing your family into it. And, if it's real, it sucks. And if it's fake, it sucks. And it's weird, because you're potentially leaving a huge audience to think a certain thing about your family that you're so proud of, if that makes sense. So let's get into a couple of the characters before we start this, just so we can have the same language. Jax and Brittany are the main cast members in this. They are heavily featured, obviously, in episode 1. And then you go to Christian Doty, legend of Vanderpump Rules, and her boyfriend, Luke Broderick. Now, they met at Doty's best friend's wedding. And you find out in the first episode, and she's talked about this on the podcast, they had sex in the back of behind a tent at this wedding. Now, Luke, he is, I believe he lives in Colorado, and that's where most of his work and his life is. So that's a big storyline that you're going to deal with. Is Luke willing to move more of his life out here, especially because they're trying to have a kid, which we see in this trailer. Now, trigger warning, I do want to mention, and that everybody knows already, unfortunately, Kristen and Luke did get pregnant and she did lose the baby, which is just so sad and horrifying. And I'm not sure if that show is going to cover that, but we do see them talking about it right from the jump on the first episode. So you have them as a couple, and then you have Danny Bucco and Nia Bucco. And Danny has been an actor in Los Angeles for a very long time, and they have three kids under the age of two. Danny's big thing is that he never has gotten sleep since these kids have come into their life. He says that ad nauseum. So you got Danny and Nia as a couple, and then you have Jesse Lally and Michelle Lally. Now, they work together in real estate. They don't actually live in the Valley. They live right by the Chateau Marmont. And this is one to watch. They seem really on each other's nerves from the jump. And Jesse comes off in a certain way, very cocky. That's a couple to watch. I think there's a lot of cracks there. And then you have Jason Caperna and Janet Caperna. Janet's original name, Janet Elizabeth. She's been on this podcast a bunch of times. And Janet and Jason, they are expecting their first baby when the Valley starts. Jason's a lawyer, but Janet used to be Sheena's best friend, helped Ariana with the Something About Her merchandise, has been kind of involved in all of their lives for so long. Now, they're kind of what it seems like in the first episode, the reliable narrators of this. Like, they are not presented to be, they're presented to be a unified front, for whatever that's worth, in the first episode. And then you have a couple friends of. You have Jasmine Good. You had seen her on The Bachelor at one point. Now, Jasmine Good, she did get offered a contract role on Vanderpump Rules one season, but she turned it down because they were offering her little to no money. But Jasmine is a friend of all of these people. I've seen her at certain parties before with them. She's always been around this group. And then you have Zach Wickham. Now, Zach Wickham is Brittany Cartwright's best friend from their hometown. And he is, I mean, I don't want to, he's kind of like that gay friend. He's sassy. He says some really brutal things. And you see in this trailer we're about to talk about, you know, there's a lot of stuff stirred up by him, and he comments on everything. And there's always that one person that you kind of need. They're essential to a reality television show, but I see him pissing a lot of people off, especially the cast members of The Valley. So we start the trailer. We see the logo for The Valley, all in yellow. It's Bravo's The Valley. Remember, this is produced by the same, now this isn't produced by Evolution Media, but it is produced by the guy that is in charge of Evolution Media. Hold on one sec. I'm trying to find his name. Okay, I can't believe I forgot his name. Alex Baskin. Alex Baskin is the head of Evolution, but this is actually produced by Alex Baskin's other company. So I thought that's very interesting. So Evolution, obviously, they produce Vanderpump Rules, Real Housewives of Orange County, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But this is Alec Baskin's other company that produces The Valley. So let's start.
This season on The Valley.
The Valley is hot, hot, hot.
So we see Brittany immediately with Cruz, little Cruz couchy. Cruz getting potentially a diaper pull up on the couch. And Brittany's like, The Valley is hot, hot, hot. The Valley is hot, hot, hot. Then we see Jax Taylor posing with a bowling ball, which is what you do.
Christmas! Go on your knees. And then what you can do is kneel behind.
Okay, so we see a bunch of like fun shots of like people rollerblading the cat. We see Dodie. We see some of the other cast members like Jasmine and Zach. And then we land on what looks to be some kind of a Lamaze class with Jason and Janet, where they're on a rolling ball. You know, so right now it's just kind of that fun loving. This is The Valley. Nothing wrong here. We're raising families.
How we got the baby in the first place.
I knew you were going to say that.
This one's so ovulating.
5 to 10 at 40. It's great.
I have a beautiful son.
Okay, so then we see Kristen Doty, and her boyfriend, Luke, at a doctor's office where the doctor says, hey, look, everything looks great. You're ovulating. And like, Luke's like, all right, all right. And then we hear a Jax voiceover of like, I've got everything, dude. I've got the family. I've got the Corvette. I've got everything. Life is good.
I got a beautiful bar. I got money in the bank.
It's only a matter of time if you're going to be living with me.
So I'll say that.
Divorced and miserable.
Okay, so that's a great little scene because this is also going to be revolving around Jax opening his bar, Jax's Saloon, on Ventura Boulevard, right between Laurel Canyon and Coldwater Canyon, right by Rocco's in the valley, the valley version of Rocco's. So it's right next to it. This was already an existing bar. A lot of people have asked how this went up so fast when places like Schwartz and Sandy's, Tom Tom, and Something About Her took forever. Well, because this was already an existing bar. There was already an existing liquor license. They just literally had to do signage and decoration. So that is one of the reasons this was able to go up so quickly, but also great storyline for a first season of a show. But we hear him say all of this stuff. I've got money in the bank. I got this and this. And Schwartz is there in this scene. He's like, huh, pretty soon you're like going to ruin it all and like end up divorced and homeless like me. And Jax is like, ha ha ha. And then he's like, hey, don't say that, dude. It's kind of a funny scene. And that's when the creepy music starts playing, like the cracks behind the valley. And this is when we see a new couple talking at a restaurant.
I feel like a marriage is so special.
And it's so frustrating because it feels out of my control.
Baby fever.
So it's you've got the two couples, the Lallys. Let me get to their name real quick. I've got to memorize it. You had Jesse Lally and Michelle Lally. And you also have Danny and Nia. And I believe it's Nia that was the one talking there and crying across from the other couple. And she just seems like she is at her wit's end with everything. Then we cut to Brittany holding, I believe this is Nia's baby. And she's like, the baby fever is crazy. I'm getting baby fever. Oh, it's off the charts, baby. Brittany holding a baby.
We're through the roof.
Bringing in another human being. It's worrisome to me.
I live for my kid.
Don't cry.
Okay. So then we get into a scene where Jasmine is looking at a pregnancy test across from Brittany. So obviously there is some obviously conversation about getting pregnant again for Brittany and Jax. And, you know, Jax in the next scene that we see is like, I'm just bringing another kid into the world. And Brittany's like, I live for my kids. I live for my kids. And she's starting to cry. And Jax immediately shuts her off. Like, hey, don't with the tears. Don't do it.
Cry.
See, I can't even have an emotion.
No, you can't.
And then she's like, see, I can't even have an emotion. And I hate doing the Britney voice because that looks like a very serious scene. But she's like, I can't have an emotion. And Jax is like, no, you can't. You can't. So you have two people. One, completely having an emotional episode, very sad, and you have Jax completely shutting that person down. It just so happens that person that he's shutting down is his wife that he has a family with. And Jax just looks like, come on, shut up. Stop it already. Are you kidding me? Rein it in, Brittany.
I don't feel like he's attracted to me. Like, we don't have sex ever.
So hard to...
Okay. So then we're at like some place in the valley where there's swings, and Janet... Caperna is on one swing and Brittany's on the other, and she's like, I don't even think he's attracted to me. We haven't had sex in months. Like, and I was like, oh shit. Oh, here we go. Like, this is why, like, why come back to reality television? Why put a spotlight on all of your issues? Like, to this point, I guess I never really thought of like, are Jax and Brittany still having sex? Like, it was like one of those like blissful ways of existing where I just never thought about that. And now I'm having to think about it. I'm not like, he's not laying it down on Brittany, and Brittany's on a swing next to Janet, sad that Jax isn't doing the deed. And then I was like, and then we hear Jax, like the music's like, ding, and Jax is like, oh, there's just a lot of temptation out there, you know? And we see Jax like talking with this like blonde haired girl, looks kind of pretty.
Be married sometimes.
There's a rumor about Jax cheating online.
You were texting like sexy pictures of yourself.
Okay, so then Janet talking to Jason saying there's a rumor about Jax cheating online. I mean, listen, when in the last 12 years has there not been a rumor about Jax cheating online? We cut to another scene where Jax looks like he's talking to Michelle Lally, who is married to Jesse Lally, the real estate agent. And Jax is saying, like, sending, like, sexy photos online. So the Frankenstein editing here makes it look like Jax is potentially saying that this girl, Michelle, sent sexy photos. It almost makes it seem like sent sexy photos to him, because Michelle Lally's look, when you hear the Jax voiceover, looks like she's looking at Jax going, like, yeah, so what of it? You know, and like, oh, is there, like, you know, that's how it makes it look. I have a feeling this isn't actually what it is trying to look like it is, but who knows?
Do you want this relationship to work?
I don't know.
Okay, so then we go to that Jesse Lally and Michelle Lally having a conversation, and Jesse is like, do you want this relationship to work? And she goes, I don't know. That's the thing. Once you get into reality television, there's always one couple. There's one couple that's like together, that's been together for a long time, possibly on the verge of breaking up, where you have Jax and Brittany. But then there's always like some new couple that we've never met before, and they've literally gone on reality television at the worst time in their relationship, which almost like assures that they're going to break up. You never know.
That's what happens when your friend's saying behind your back.
I don't know how to manage raising a child, raising a family, starting a business.
Do you think everybody...
So then we have like Jax and Brit, like Jax talking to Brittany of like, I don't know how to manage you, starting a business, starting a saloon, starting a family, managing this, managing that, like the ballad of Jax Taylor. We see him laying on a couch, like, woe is me. And then we cut to a scene with Janet and Jason Caperna.
He was just as happy as us before they had kids.
Instead of caring about.
So Janet's relaying to Jason of like, do you think they were as happy as us before they had the kids? And that, I think Janet and Jason seem like they have a very solid relationship. But then in the next scene, Janet's laying in bed. Janet, remember, very pregnant during the filming of this.
Everybody else's feelings made me think, like, is she okay?
Janet, just talk to me, please. Don't close the door on me.
Okay, so now then that's obviously a Janet and Jason scene where Janet is like, do you ever think about, like, you know, you're thinking about every other's buddy's feelings, but, you know, you're actually not thinking about mine. And then we see a camera shot of a camera following Jason down the stairs. And he's like, Janet, just listen to me. Janet, don't slam the door on me. And the door slams. And I'm like, oh, reality television does.
Done. Kids do that.
I know you are.
You're my f-ing husband and you're trying to make me look like I'm a bad person.
Okay, so we see a couple of the other castmates, including Danny Bucco crying. There's a couple guys crying. And then we have Brittany Cartwright. You know, they look like they went away on some trip together because it looks like an Airbnb type place. And she's like, pops her head. Like, you gonna make me look crazy, but like, the fuck you to Jax. Like, it's like very rotten hell kind of voice. And Jax says,
the problem.
Loose
lips.
She's a fucking
chips.
Problem.
Your lips seem like.
So then there goes to a scene. This is very fastly edited together. So sorry for the stop starts, you guys. But Kristen Doty is in a scene with Zach Wickham, and Kristen Doty is like, loose lips sink ships. And Zach is like, your lips sink, like, your lips sink fucking armadas, girl.
Full on armadas.
She sent one of her little minions to spy on us.
I feel like sometimes I'm the only one who ever has to. Only shit.
You know what you have done.
Okay, so then there seems to be some scenes with Kristen Doty where Jasmine is talking to one of the ladies of, like, potentially Kristen sending people, or what it seems like Kristen sending people to spy on them. And then Kristen crying to Luke something about, like, oh, I'm the only person that I, you know, being very angry. And then it cuts to this scene in what looks like an apartment hallway. You see a lot of doors. And I believe this is Michelle Lally talking to Kristen Doty. There's a bunch of people out there.
To my marriage and my life and my daughter.
Your husband said on camera that he's going to divorce you.
You better get her.
Okay, so this is between Jesse and Michelle Lally. So, you know, Michelle to Kristen Doty is like, you're trying to ruin my marriage, my family. And Kristen's like, your husband's on camera saying he wants to fucking divorce you. And then you see Jesse Lally going, you better get your woman in check, like flipping out. We see Luke in the background. We see Brittany in the background. It's freeze frame. The only reason I know it's Brittany is because she has the huge, gigantic double D's that Jax bought her. Like, so you see Zach Wickham involved. Like, this is like a rumble in the jungle right now. Rumble in the valley.
Stop. No, she is the queen of England because she's dead to me.
Okay, so Zach Wickham, another sassy comment. She is the queen of England because she's dead to me. I would almost go with, and it would be more, in the news right now, like, she is Kate Middleton because I can't find her. Or so, I don't know. I'm working it out. But anyways, that's directed towards somebody. We see Kristen and Luke running off or like walking off in that hallway scene.
Signing up for this all over again. He goes to go through it again. He's rubbing me on Vanderpump Rules.
So Doty says, oh, I have to go through all of this all over again? I would rather be on Vanderpump Rules. Boom! Saying that to Luke. Poor Luke. He's like chopping wood in Colorado. And now he's like all of a sudden a part of like this TV mess. But Kristen Doty says, I would rather be on Vanderpump Rules. Now, Doty, like I said, was on the podcast with Jax and Brittany today. I read a synopsis on Vanderpod Recaps, their Instagram page. And Jax was making fun of Doty for saying Vanderpump Rules. You know, like, oh, I can't believe you said that.
This season.
Music at the very end, it goes, oh, like it's epic, like it's like Gladiator, like, oh. So you guys, that is The Valley. Will you be tuning in? And by the way, even if you say no, I don't believe you. I know you will be tuning in, and we'll rip it apart, but then we'll like maybe slowly start to like it. I think you are going to like certain aspects of this. I think the first episode does what a first episode is supposed to do. I'm very curious how we move on from there to the second, the third, and the fourth. And the more I talk about it, like I said at the beginning, I'm still just wildly unsure. I think a lot of the Jax Brittany thing, I think maybe it's grounded or rooted in some sort of reality. But at the same time, I think they're exploiting it to get us talking about it. And we are. But there's something in it so weird about the timing of all of this. Like, you pick a couple weeks before this show airs to get everything going again. But the reality of this situation, though, is their marriage would be naturally put to the test, because this year after Scandoval, Jax and Brittany were able to get their podcast. They did open the saloon. There are a lot of things that would actually bring trouble to a relationship. I just think these days, like, don't try to manipulate the system when the reality of things are just as fascinating, you know? And if this is a manipulation of the system, I hope it is called out, and I hope someone actually admits it. And I hope it's Brittany. I hope Brittany actually has to break down, like, Jack told me to, I don't know. So anyways, I'm excited to see it. I'll watch it. Definitely. We'll talk about it on this show, but that is The Valley second trailer. Also, guest appearance on the first episode. I should have led with this. Rachel Levis is in the first episode of The Valley. No, I'm joking, but wouldn't that be crazy? No, it's just the people that I talked about. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.